1 Corinthians chapter 2, let's begin to read in verse 1. And the Bible says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would have not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. For we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." You can be seated tonight. Heavenly Father, we certainly need your help tonight. I pray you'd guard our mind and our thoughts. And Lord, just give us clarity, clarity of mind, clarity of speech tonight. While we in that try to preach, I pray you give us power from on high. Lord, I pray you keep the devil far and that away from hindering this service tonight while we might preach. I pray you've been honored in all that's done tonight, the song sung, the music played. I pray that you were honored in that. And Lord, that's what it's all about, is you tonight. But Lord, while we stand to preach, I pray somebody might hear the gospel and get saved, that we might be able to point to Calvary. And Lord, not that we would save them, but that you would save them and help the one that needs instruction tonight, maybe need encouragement. And Lord, we'll give the glory for it all, for these things in Jesus' name. We do ask and do pray. Amen. And amen. As the Apostle Paul opens up this chapter and he talks about coming to Corinth, he talks about how he came and how he didn't come. My wife says a lot of times, she says, sometimes you'll tell us what you're not preaching way too long more than what you tell us what you are preaching. I forget what I was preaching on one time, and man, I did. After you go back and you listen to the tape, that'll tell you how long ago it's been if I'm talking about tapes. And I did. I think I spent 40 minutes telling you about what I wasn't going to preach and 10 minutes telling you what I was going to preach. But Paul, he said, "I came not in excellency of speech." He said, "I didn't come with anything that I could say." He said, "I come declaring unto you the testimony of God." He said, "I didn't come with my wisdom to declare that." But he said, "When I come to declare the testimony of God," in verse 2, he said, "I come to declare unto you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ." Because he said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And listen, that's what will save a sinner tonight, is to present to them the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that can save the whole world if they'd come to Him. And so the Apostle Paul said, "Hey, listen, when I come, I come not in my wisdom, I come just telling you about Christ Jesus the Lord. If you don't know Him tonight, you can know Him. You can have a personal relationship with Him, one that loves you and died for you, and then one that wants to help you, amen, through this life." But then look what the Apostle Paul said. And by the way, I'm only going to preach on one verse, but these were so good, I thought I'd read them all. And then he talks about how he came. He said he didn't come in excellency of speech or of wisdom, but then he said, "In my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but," he said, "I come in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." He said, "I didn't come in myself." He said, "I didn't come with anything that I could do, but I was relying on the power of the Lord and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit to get the job done." And he said, "And the reason I've done that is so that your faith wouldn't stand in the wisdom wisdom of man, but that it would stand in the power of God. Now listen, what you know tonight spiritually didn't come from what man has taught you. I mean, you might have got something from what I've said and what other teachers have said and what Sunday school teachers have said, but listen, for you to get that and to retain that, then the Holy Spirit in your heart had to open your heart, let the Word of God flood in there for you to be able to get a hold of that thing. And so that's what the Apostle Paul was saying right here. He said, I didn't want you to get it in my power, but I wanted you to get it in the power of God. And he begins to talk about the wisdom of the world, how that it comes to naught. And listen, it's going to tonight. Man, I mean, we got people out here there's so many untruths out there tonight floating around. You don't know what to believe. And wisdom, they're telling you this and telling you that. But listen, tonight, thank God for the wisdom of God. You can read that book and believe what God has told you. It will always come to pass. Amen. Listen, the Bible said, what was it? That the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our Lord standeth forever. Hey, when this thing is burnt up and done over with, this book will still be standing at the end of it all. Amen. Thank God for that. And then he talks about how that he speaks the wisdom of God in a mystery, and that talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, because had they known it, had the princes of this world known it, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. And then he begins to talk about the wisdom that's been hid. And he talks about in verse 9, and we make this application to heaven a lot of times. And that's fine if you want to make that application to heaven. I make it when I'm preaching a lot of times where he talks about eyes not seen and ears not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. And there are things that God, no doubt, has got prepared for us in heaven that we have nothing, we don't know. Listen, exactly what's up there and going on tonight, but I know it's there, amen. And I know it's real. But you know what? There are things that look in verse 10. He said, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. You ought to know some things tonight. You should know some things spiritually. You should have some things revealed in your life from God. The more you read His book, the more it ought to get revealed. He said, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. You can't get into the deep things of God, and He will reveal them to us. And then He begins to us, and then He begins to talk about what man knows and how we've received it. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. And so we find as he talks about this, I mean, you're not going to know anything about God and God's Word unless His Spirit resides in you. Unless you have the Holy Spirit, which is not only the Comforter and also the Convictor, but the Lord said, the one that I'm going to leave, He's going to teach you in all things and remind you and bring back to your remembrance what I've said. That's what He said. And so as He begins to talk about this, He says, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also, you know, let me say now, people say, I can't understand the Bible. You've got some problems tonight if you don't understand your Bible. One, you're either not reading it. You know, if you don't read your Bible, you don't know what it says. So my daddy always says, you do not know what you do not know. You know why you don't know some things? Because you've not read. You know why I don't know some things? I ain't read. But listen tonight, if we'll read and in earnest, I want to seek out of God's Word, He will enlighten our eyes and our heart and our spirit with the Word of God. I love it when this book becomes alive, it's sitting on my desk in my hands. I love it when He shows me something out of this book. And He says, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You can't make carnal and spiritual line up. It's got to be spiritual matters. And then He says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So in your natural man, you're not going to get anything out of this book. A lost man, he can glean off the top of it and understand that he's lost and understand that the Lord wants to save him, but he is not going to get into the deep things and that of God. Let me say this, and then I'm going to preach what I'm going to preach. Talking about the deep things of God, it's only the Holy Spirit that can take you and make you want to forgive somebody. It's only the Holy Spirit of God that can take you and show you not to let bitterness reign in your heart and in your life tonight. It's only the Holy Spirit of God that can direct you from this book and give you happiness when nothing else can tonight. Only He can do that. I want you to look in verse 15, and here's what I'm going to preach. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. So before I leave here tonight, chances are, or when this goes out on the radio, I'm probably going to be called a Pharisee or a legalist before it's done and said. But there are some things that we need to judge tonight. And the Bible says that he that is spiritual judgeth all things. And so as I look at this tonight, we find that we make our judgment according to the prior verses, and that according to the wisdom of God, and that with the spiritual man. We cannot make spiritual judgment or spiritual discernment trying to use worldly things. Trying to use worldly ideas or worldly wisdom, it just will not line up. You ever heard somebody say, well, I believe this is what I would do. Or this is what I think I would do. Let me say tonight, number one, when it comes to having spiritual discernment, listen, tonight, how are we to judge? Now, don't just stay with me till the very end, because I'm going to say some things that I want you to get tonight and understand what I'm talking about. How are we to make judgments in our life and in this world that is around us? Can I say tonight that I believe it's very simple to get this, that we're to do it in light of the Scripture. Judgments have been made in this book right here. When the book has something to say, I'll have something to say. If it's remained quiet on some things, chances are I'm going to remain quiet on some things. But listen, when we make our judgments tonight, it is by the Word of God. In John chapter 12, how the Lord put it like this. He said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, I hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So it is this book that this is the word that he left for us, right? I mean, this is the book that he gave us and left us and wants us to have to run our life and to know how to worship and to know how to praise and to know how to live for Him and to know how to remain separated and to know how to present Him to the world. He left us this book. He said, it is this book, if you reject me, he said, at the end of it all, my word that I've left you, that's what's going to judge you at the end time. At the final judgment, there at the great white throne, when a man or a woman that's lost stands before an almighty Jesus Christ, he's going to reach over there and pull this book off the shelf, and he's going to show you what it said. Now, I believe the same thing will happen for the saved. I believe at the judgment seat of Christ, I believe he'll reach over off the same shelf, if you'd let me say that, or maybe a different shelf. I don't exactly know where it's all going to be at, but I know he'll have that book present, and he'll read it to us. And he's going to say, right here's what it said. Why didn't you do it? You're at the judgment seat of Christ. It's not to find out whether you're lost or saved or not. It's to judge us and that for our faithfulness and our stewardship while we're here serving Him tonight. But it is the Word of God. Listen, all through the Bible, you'll find that the Word of God is referred to as the Word. You'll find it's referred to as God's testimonies, His commandment, His law. And then you find it's referred to as judgments. If you go over to Psalms 119, all through that it talks about God's testimonies, God's commandments, God's laws, and God's judgments. Psalms 119 and verse 160, Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of Thy righteous judgments endureth forever. So God has gave us a book that has made judgments in it. Now what does the word judge mean? It means to compare facts or ideas and perceive their agreement or disagreement, and thus distinguish between truth and falsehood. What's that mean? That means you take what you know, you compare it with the truth or the untruth, and then you can distinguish if what you're looking at is truth or untruth. It means to hear and to determine. It means to discern or to distinguish. It means to try and to pass judgment on, or to rightly understand. None of those things can we do on our own without that book? Not one of them. Well, preacher, we're not to judge. Just stay with me. You've already got ahead of me. Some of you's done went to Matthew 7. He's done got there. Don't let me lose you. Listen, this is called the judgment of God. Listen, did you know in this book, when we look at it, then we should make judgments. And let me say this, that even in God's Word, in judgments and things that are set in stone, and God is not going to change His Word, by the way, we still find mercy and grace through it all. Now, I'm leaving somewhere, so okay, I'm just afraid I'm going to lose you if I ain't careful. Take your Bible and go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And some of y'all ought to know what that story is. John chapter 8. And we know that Jesus came not in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be what? Saved. The world was already condemned, the Bible tells us in John chapter 3. He didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. John chapter 8. The Bible says Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning He came again into the temple, and all the people came unto Him, and He sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto Him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto Him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. In other words, they found her an act committing adultery with a man, in the very act. Now, Moses in the law, let me stop right here and say that most of you have heard me preach on this over the years, and so I'm going to ask the same question that I always ask. Where's the man at? If you go to the book of Deuteronomy and deal with what they're quoting right there, the Bible says that both of them should be brought. The book of Leviticus tells us in the same law that they're both to be brought. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? And this they said, tempting Him that they might have to accuse Him. But Jesus stooped down and with His finger wrote on the ground as though He heard them not. He just ignored them. I love that. I do, I love that because He knew what they were up to. I mean, those Pharisees was just, and scribes were out to try to get Him, and He just ignored them. And He's writing something on the ground. So when they continued asking him, He lifted up Himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast the stone at her. That's a big statement, ain't it? In the light of God's Word, and I'm going to deal, again, I'm getting way ahead of myself, I'm going to deal with us looking at things in other people's lives sometimes. But we need to be very careful when we do those things. Because He said, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. He said, all right. And again, He stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up Himself and saw none but the woman, He said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Now look what He said. Go and sin no more. He didn't say that it wasn't a sin. He didn't say that she wasn't guilty of what she was doing. He told them, look, if you're going to throw a stone at her, make sure that you ain't got no sin in your life. And when they all left, He said, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Is there any here to condemn you? He said, I don't condemn you. Just go and sin no more. Just fix what's wrong in your life. Start living for me. Come to know Christ. But you know, even saved people mess up, don't they? I'll deal with that here in a minute. Saved people messed up. We cannot make people do right. If people come with a repentative heart, then I'm going to tell you, if folk come to Christ with a repentative heart, I'm talking about saved people. Well, lost people too. If lost people come with a repentative heart and want to get saved, He'll save them. And He'll wipe the slate clean. He'll let them start all over again. I'm glad He is a God of new beginnings and just wipes it all away and takes care of it and lets you start all over again. I'm so glad He does that. And sometimes we ought to do the same with people. And if one comes with a repentant heart, we should forgive. I preached on that a little bit last week. There comes a time when people will not repent. And I'll look at that. Well, let's just go on over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, I'm talking about in the light of God's Word right now is how we make these discernments and the justifications of what we do. But we have to do it not only in the light of God's Word, but in the very fact of us. Judging somebody, you say, I can get this said right. We're not God's little judges to run around and say, boy, you're doing wrong, you're doing wrong, you're doing wrong, you're doing wrong, you're doing wrong. But there are times that we have to make judgments about what people are doing. Because there comes a time when it calls not only for restoration, which I'll deal with, but it calls for a time of separation. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, as the Apostle Paul says, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this for thee might be taken away from among you. Listen, they had fornication going on in the church house, and instead of fixing this thing, I mean, he said, you've been puffed up about it. You've been prideful about what's going on in it. He said, you've not mourned the sin that has taken place and that's been allowed to take place. You know, I believe that might be a little more common sometimes in churches than what people want to let on. Some things is allowed to happen just for the sake of everybody getting along. But he said, for I verily, as absent in body but present in spirit, have judged already. Paul said, I've already judged this situation. He said, as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. He said, you're going to have to deal with this thing. He said, I've judged this situation already. He said, I've already made the judgment call. We know what Scripture says. We know that this is wrong, and you've not fixed the situation. You've not talked to him. You've not dealt with it. And you know, sometimes you've got to deal with things that you don't want to deal with. I can tell you one thing. As a young preacher, they're always gung-ho to fix problems, when sometimes time ought to be spent in prayer and weeping and crying. I remember one time, I forget what the issue was. I really do forget what it was. And it was something that I could have took the bull by the horns, and I've had to take the bull by the horns over the years, but I could have took it by the horns. But you know what I've done? I prayed that thing out of the way. And I'll never forget, I told Brother Ted Pegram about it before he passed away, and he said, you took the easy way out. You just prayed it out of the way. I just laughed at him. I know Brother Ted, he would have took the bull by the horns. He'd have just dealt with it, you know. But I prayed it out of the way. But when it comes to judging, we judge in line of Scripture. So I come to number two, and I'm going to have to come back to number one in part of this. But who are we to judge? You know, first of all, we're to judge ourselves. Now, we're anxious to judge what somebody else is doing or not doing, or I am a lot of times. But we never want to look at ourselves in the mirror. We never want to reflect on what's going on in our life. First Peter said, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. He said it's a time that it must begin with us. 1 Corinthians 11 said, for if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. That's in the light of the Lord's Supper over there. He's talking about in 1 Corinthians 11. He said, and all that sin, you know, he said, if you had just, when some were weak and sickly and many sleep, or some sleep, and he said, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. He said, if you would look with the Lord's book and compare your life and that with what God wants out of it, And you might be able to take your Bible and go to Matthew chapter 7. I want you to look at something, what it says. Matthew 7. Most of y'all ought to know this. Am I making sense tonight? Am I helping you? Somebody help me out here now. One preacher I watch, you're going to help me preach this, ain't you now? You're going to have to help me tonight. Look at Matthew 7. He said, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Alright? Whatever you lay out on somebody, chances are that's what's going to be. Well, it ain't chances are. It will be laid out again to you. But watch what he said. Why beholdest thou the mote? That's that little splinter, if you would, that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye. How wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold a beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam that is in thine own eye. He said, okay, the first thing you have to do is deal with what's wrong with you. It's just kind of like the Lord told those men over there that was ready to stone that lady or that woman that was taken in the very act of adultery. He that's without sin, let him cast the first stone. We're always very quick a lot of times to tell somebody how to fix something when there's things in our own life that needs to be fixed. You say, well, preacher, if we're waiting to get perfect and get everything just settled out, we'll never get there. I understand. I do. But we need to get serious about judging ourselves in light of this book right here. I'll be honest with you, I don't want to be... I'll tell you, there's just some that are very hard to be around because they become very judgmental on things. When they got their own problems, and I know they got their own problems. You've got your own problems tonight. And then, you've got things that need to be fixed in your home. Just like we try to work on things in our home. You know, some people's attitude needs to be fixed. They need to work on their attitude. You ever just been around people that complain all the time? They're constant complainers. God's people ought not to be that way. I mean, man, nothing can never go right. It never fails. I mean, there's always something wrong. Somebody's always out to get them. Somebody's always out to do them right. Maybe that's the truth. I don't know. But we need to work. Boy, this is exciting tonight, ain't it? I'm looking at you. You ain't looking real excited. You know, it's all right when we're judging somebody else's problems. But boy, when we got to start judging ourselves, it turns into a whole different ball game, don't it? It's one thing to look at somebody else and say, boy, their hair's been out of shape and it's not right. But when you go look in the mirror and your hair's been out of shape, that don't look so bad, does it? You know, there's things about us that needs to be fixed in the light of God's Word, our actions sometimes, how we feel toward others. Our attitude toward others, our attitude toward God, our attitude toward His book, our attitude toward church members. We need to judge. If you're going to be hard on somebody, it ought to be you. I'm just going to be honest with us all tonight. If we're going to be hard on somebody, we need to be hard on us. We need to take the hammer and beat out the heart, the weighty spots on us and flatten us out before we ever start working on somebody else. I mean, there's things in our home that needs to be fixed. There's things in us that needs to be fixed. I'm sure some of you are tonight trying to work on them. And you know what I've learned? That the time you get serious with God about working on things in you and in your life and judging things and having discernment about what's going on in your life, He'll begin to open and show you more and more and more. And to be honest with you, don't misunderstand what the preacher means or what he says right here, but that can get very irritating sometimes. Because just when you think you're getting some things straightened out from time to time, the Lord shows you something else that you need to straighten out about yourself. That's when you think. I'm not saying that we can't do good. Don't misunderstand me. I don't want to beat us up tonight. I'm just saying that I know how I am, and I have to constantly work on me. We need to judge about what's going on here at the church. What's allowed to slip in. Got to be careful with that. Doctrine that's allowed to come in, need to judge it. Need to make it, compare it, judge it, discern it in the light of God's Word. Music, songs, in the light of God's Word. Amen? Everything's got, I heard somebody say the other day, what one generation tolerates, the next generation accepts. I thought that's a pretty good statement. We need to judge ourselves in the light of God's Word. We need to work on ourselves with God's Word. You know, he told them one point over there, was it in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians, we're not of the group that compares ourselves with ourselves because that's unwise. I mean, I'm not trying to live up to Brother Jeff's standards. I'm not trying to live up Brother Tom or Sister Alicia's standards and what they have. I'm just trying to live up to this book right here. I'm just picking on y'all, by the way. I mean nothing by it. I'm not judging against it. Why would we judge others? What would be the reason for that? Let me give you some example when I talk about judging others so that you understand. I'm not talking about running around being God's little judge and say, boy, you need to fix this or fix that or fix this. Or that we pass judgment and bring condemnation on them. Take your Bible and go to Galatians 6. Galatians 6 and look in verse 1. Now, you've got to remember, we started all this in the light of God's Word. Everything must be placed in the light of God's Word. What does God's Word say about it? Now, look what he says in verse 1. Brethren, talking to saved people, he said, if a man be overtaken in a fault. Do you know to know if somebody is overtaken in a fault, you have to make a judgment. You have to discern that something has went wrong in their life. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, how do you do that? In the light of God's Word. How do you know they're in a fault? How do you know they're wrong? In the light of God's Word. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, now notice what he said. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So he says, when you go to restore them, first of all, in the spirit, first of all, he said, you which are spiritual. Those that are going to exhibit Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and verses 23. Love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. When we exhibit that, and listen, that reigns true in our life, then we can fulfill what Galatians 6 and verse 1 said right here. Ye which are spiritual, he said, if a man be overtaken in that fall, then you go with the idea of what? Of restoration. Not condemnation. Right? See, we're ready to condemn people, and he never tells us to condemn people. People are already condemned. Hey, I'm going to be honest with you. Most times you go talk to somebody about their sin, they already know it. Most people that are backslid, they know they're backslid. Most people that ain't right, most lost people know they're lost. But he said what? Restore such a one in the spirit. I mean, so we go with the idea of restoration. To restore them back in that favorable relationship and that with God and with their fellow man and with the brethren. Restore such a one in the spirit of what? Meekness. That mildness of temper in this case. You go down there and be just as gentle and as good to them as you can be. Let me read you something else. 2 Thessalonians said it like this. He said, and if any man obey not our word by this epistle, he said, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed, yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now, I'll deal with the separation here in a minute. But listen, he said, when you go to do that, he said, you go down there to admonish him, which is to correct him mildly and gently. You go down there to do those things so that you might be a help to him. And he said, as a matter of fact, he said, you go this way because you go how you want somebody to treat you. How would you want to be treated if you were wrong? How would you want to be treated if you were caught in a fault? How would you want me or somebody else to come and say, hey, I believe how you're living right here, here's what the Bible says. And well, we just want to encourage you to get right with the Lord. And we'd love to see you get right and get back in church and all these things. Are you following me tonight? There are times we have to make discernment and judgments in other people's lives because we want to restore them, see them restored back to Christ. We want to see them have that relationship and that fellowship. You know, that's why we have to work on our life and judge our life, is so that our relationship and our fellowship with Christ will stay in good shape. Go back to Matthew chapter 7. I quit reading that. I want you to go back and look in Matthew chapter 7. So we come down to verse 5 where I quit reading. He said, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam. I remember when I learned that in Sunday school when I was a boy. The mote was the splinter in your brother's eye, and the beam was the telephone pole. And you know, as a kid, you think about somebody walking around with a telephone pole in their eye. He said, first cast the beam out of thine own eye, and then notice what it said. And then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. He didn't say that you could not help your brother. He said, first you got to deal with you, and then you can help deal with your brother. So we do that for the sake of restoration. If you go back and you read, I won't go there, but I've already read it. If you go back and you read in 1 Corinthians 5 about that one who was taken in fornication, we make those judgments and that for the case of separation. There's some people who are not going to be repentative of their sin. You don't need to be around them. You don't need to fellowship with them. You don't need to have anything to do with them. Hey, listen, if you read the rest of what the Lord had to say over there in 1 Corinthians 5, after he said to, I'll go read it to you. He said, your glorying is not good. Know ye that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? He asked the question, a little bit of sin just leavens the whole lump. He said, your glorying is not good. He said, purge out therefore the old leaven that you may be a new lump as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover sacrifice for you, or for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must we needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or idolater, or railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner with such a one, no, not to eat. You know how you're going to do that? Got to make a judgment call. I mean, I'm just being honest tonight. You got to look at the situation. If you know what's going on in somebody's life, you got to make a judgment call. They said, hey, would you come and eat supper with us tonight? No, I'm afraid I can't do that. You know, there's folk out here tonight that claim to be saved, and I hope they are. But man, they're living together. And we have no business going to their house and fellowshipping with them. You have no business running around with people like that. Not according to Scripture right here. Everything is done in the light of the book, ain't it? As a matter of fact, if you go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we read this the other day too, I honestly believe that 1 Corinthians 2 is dealing with, or 2 Corinthians 2 is dealing with 1 Corinthians 5. That man that had committed this fornication right here in 2 Corinthians 2 wanted to be forgiven. And Paul, they weren't forgiving him. And Paul said, you ought to forgive him of it. He said, if he's asking for it, then you ought to forgive him. We still need to admonish them as a brother and as a sister in Christ. But we cannot fellowship with them. You can't do it. Not according to Scripture. I was with a preacher one time and he was reading the minutes of the church that his wife grew up in. And man, you're talking about church discipline. We're back in the 1800s. And man, they were this, and all the way up through the 1960s, and you get into the 1970s, and church discipline kind of changed. And he said, you know, you just can't discipline your shortstop on the softball team. It'll catch on to that here in just a little bit. Why would we judge? Why would we make judgment in our life? That's for our relationship and our right fellowship with Christ. Why would we look at others in a hope of restoration? And hopefully never in separation would we have to do that. I would rather go to somebody and say, well, let's look at what the book says. And here's how you need to fix this. And I'm praying for you and I want you to fix it. Because I know your relationship ain't right with Christ. And we want you to be right with the Lord. We want you to come back to church. We want you to be in church. Ain't that right? We have a tendency, maybe you don't, I have a tendency, if I'm not careful, to want to take on condemnation. And I'm ready to condemn everybody that's doing wrong, and you're not going to help nobody, and I ain't either. As a matter of fact, even if you condemn yourself, if your heart condemns you, that tells you you need to fix something that's in you. Just fix it. And then the condemnation. Judge yourself. He said, for if we would be judged. He said, if we'd judge ourselves. I know I've been a little scattered tonight, but there's the message on judging. We do it in the hope of restoration. We do it not in the hope of separation, but it may come to that. And if it does, it does. And it'll all be done in the light of God's Word. And listen, if you do it in the light of God's Word and in the wisdom of His book, friend, you'll be right in what you do. Let's bow our heads tonight if we would. We won't have any music tonight. Yeah, get me just a verse of Invitation, Mount Jacob. If you need to come and pray, I want you to come tonight. Maybe you've judged yourself. I've been very vague on some things that we need to look at in our life. Listen, if there's something you need to take care of tonight between you and the Lord, if He's opened up something to you, I pray you'll fix it tonight. Sometimes to fix things between us and the Lord, we just need to come and tell Him that we're sorry. Lord, I'm sorry I ever done that. Sorry I thought that way. Sorry that this happened. Just tell Him you're sorry. Lord, I want that right relationship. You may not know how to handle a situation tonight. I didn't talk about that. You know, there are just some things that's just tough to handle. I'll be honest with you. Especially, in your home, your family, in our church. It's tough to deal with. You need wisdom tonight. You know what? God will give you wisdom if you'll just seek it tonight. If you need to come and pray, we're not going to tarry long, but if you need to come. Most of all, if you're lost tonight, I encourage you to come and get saved.